say.
Thank you, Daddy.
Let's get kinky. You're listening to the Funny Dom Podcast.
G'day, folks. Welcome to this week's show. This week we've got some very fun things for you. There's some Q&A, and I'm going to give you a preview of not only the next watch-along, which is a commentary on Netflix's Korean K-pop kinky rom-com modern classic Love and Leashes. I'm also going to give you a preview of my very first interview, which is with the amazing fairy godmother herself, Hannah Deindorfer. Give you a little sneak peek of that. Listen to a snippet. And I'm going to, right now, let you in on a giveaway, because I want to talk about this amazing game called Funishment, which I've had and I've been playing with for ages now, since the lovely makers sent me a copy to play with. And I want to talk about it because, I mean, for a community that's all about play, we don't have many good games, do we? I mean, we don't have many good movies. That's why I'm doing the watch-alongs. And half of them are going to be movies that shouldn't be part of a kink oeuvre. But in terms of games, I don't know, what do we have? There's some pretty cheesy, sleazy kind of games I've seen in sex shops. But I mean, like, well thought out, fun, actual games you can play that are legitimately kinky and dynamic. And the first one I've come across is this. It's called Funishment, a kink, consent, and communication card game. I'll tell you what, that alliteration gets me pretty hard. And it says on the side of the lovely box here, explore your kinks as a dominant, submissive, or switch with commands, punishments, and more. Funishment will help you learn more about your partners and yourself. Funishment is a sex-positive, gender-affirming, and safety-first. Always respect safe words and never push past your point of comfort. Play safe, play smart, have fun. I love it already. I'm not even open the thing. It's got such good messaging and intent. And to boot, it's an actual, like, good game. So I'm going to open it up. I have a little bit of kind of ASMR here of this. I'm going to open up the box. And again, on the inside of the box, it says play safe, play smart, have fun. Now, this is available. You can get this at funishmentthegame.com. The amazing and lovely queer game maker, Charlie, who is, she's going through a time right now. So I would encourage you all to check out this game and please order a copy and follow the Funishment the Game page on Instagram and give her some support. She's going through some recovery right now, and she has a GoFundMe, which I'll also link with this podcast, both on Patreon and on the public platforms. So yes, she deserves our support, and at the very least deserves your patronage as customers, because this game, Funishment, is so good. Even the instructions, like, get me very excited because they're so good. It's a big fold out, and the first section is safety, bang, already great. And the game is a huge pile of cards, and we have soft and hard limits in here, and we have a red, yellow, and green card. So I'm going to run through all the instructions for you, but basically you get with your partner and you decide, and this is laid out, which is great, laid out the instructions, you decide what role you want to be in. So if you want to switch in the game, you can do that, like, from card to card. Or if you have set dynamics, it also respects that. If there's a dom who's a dom, i.e. this is how I would definitely play this game, is like, well, I'm daddy, so I'm going to be the dom. So you stay in that position, and the cards will be taking that into account. And then you swap turns. If you're switching, you swap turns, and the person who is drawing the next card is now in the dominant role. So you're kind of literally switching back and forth as you go along. So every time you draw a card and it has a task or an instruction, you can then show your yellow card or your red card if that particular instructional task is something you're not up for, or you can use your green card, which means let's go ahead. So it's like literally teaching a good practice of boundaries and communication and actual safe wording within a fun game. So that's the kind of basic setup for it. I put the instructions down now, otherwise I'll just do instruction chat for like 20 minutes. I want to get into the cards because they're really fun. So there's like hundreds. Oh my goodness. Let me give you like a... That's like a third of them. And there's a little category card, kind of tabbed cards, hard limits and soft limits. So you can put cards, there's a discard pile as well, so you can literally put cards behind hard limits. It's so good. So let's just take some random cards and talk about them, see how spicy we get. So first one, this is a X-rated command card called Plug In. It's a great sense of humor as well. There's some like good kind of punny kind of laughs to be had here. So X-rated command, Plug In. It's a 3, so I think it's a 3 points, so you can get points if you do this. It says, if the submissive owns a butt plug, great start, they must insert it and leave it in place for the remainder of the gameplay. Fantastic. So there you go. If you have a butt plug, go get it and put it in. Or use your yellow or red card. What have we got next? We've got a meta card. So there's different categories. Command cards, meta cards, inquisition cards, which I think most subs will love. They make you sometimes get to find things out about your dom you might not know. So this is a flash flood meta card. All new rules cards currently in play are no longer in effect. Remove the cards from the table. Well, that's not doing anything right yet. But you can add different rules. Put that aside. Faking it. Submissive must act out an orgasm, including sounds and facial expressions. Fantastic. So much fun. Love a little bit of spicy theatre. Here we go. Next up, giddy up. That's a good start. Giddy up. It's a punishment card. Ooh, that's right. It's punishment cards. So it says, the submissive must get on their hands and knees. Dominant may stand over them and spank them with a hand or riding crap. Riding crap. Riding crop X times. So it's got X, so you roll a dice. So you get like a die here. I've just got 1. Oh my god, 2. Only 2. So that would be devastating for me. I get that's like 2 smacks there. That's not enough. All right, what else have we got? Solo gig, X-rated command card. Ooh. If the submissive owns a penetrative sex toy, they must penetrate themselves with it and perform 2 X thrusts. For added fun, have the submissive count out loud. Love it. So that's 2 X. So again, anytime there's an X, you have to roll the die. Here we go. 4. Nice. So 4 thrusts in and out with the toy, and have them count to 4 as well. Great fun. Let's do a few more. Just do a few more. There's hundreds, so it's fun just going through and getting ideas. So you can also just use it as a little like secondary brains trust of play and task setting. Next one's called One in Hand. Dominant may pose the submissive. Oh, I like that. Submissive must stand still. Dominant may stroke the submissive's genitals for up to 2 minutes. Up to 2 minutes, as if you're only going to go 1 minute. You're going to do the full 2 minutes. Just make them be still. Mic check. That's good for now. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Submissive uses their hands to arouse the dominant until the dominant gives them permission to stop. Is this thing on? I don't know why you would give them permission to stop. Military brat. Oh, we have to do this one. Military brat. New rule. Oh, there we go. So this is one of the new rules that earlier card would wash aside. Here we go. So dominant chooses a command phrase. Each time the command phrase is spoken, the sub must pinch their nipples. Leave this card on the table for duration of gameplay. Great. So that sits there on the table. Then you have the little phrase. And anytime you say peachy, you have to pinch your nipples. That's great. So, I mean, I'll stop there. Let me know if you want to do more. We can always do more next time. So you just play through the cards and you get points. And, I mean, really, yes, you can win because you can say, like, first to so many points, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, there is no loser because it's just good dynamic fun, you know. And it's good practice on communicating and using your words and using your safe words and boundaries and such. Just such a good game. Really, really great. So that's Funishment, the game. I follow the page on Instagram, so if that helps you find it, look it up. Look it up on the funishmentthegame.com and order yourself a copy right now. It's available. It's fantastic. I have one that I have played with, and I have an extra that Charlie has given me to give away. So we're going to give a copy of Funishment the Game away. I'll be doing that probably through my Patreon. So you'll be listening to this first if you're on Patreon, because it's on pre-release. So I'm going to give a copy away. So one person will get that, but please go and check out the site and follow them on Instagram and give her all the support, because this game is brilliant. And yeah, they deserve it. I really love it. It's so much fun, and it's doing like a legitimate service for folk. I mean, if you were new and you picked up this game to try it, it would actually teach you things and you'd have a lot of fun. I think that's pretty rare. So yeah, go check it out. Funishment. 10 out of 10. Alright folks, I've got my hot mocha here. Let's do some Q&A, shall we? First question: what do you do to your subs if you catch them playing without permission? Give my daddy ideas. Well, I would say if your daddy wants ideas, he can come and ask for them himself. But to answer your question, what would I do? Because it really depends on the dynamic and the sub, of course, and what the punishments are. But typically what I would do with a partner is definitely punish them either with something related to what they had done. So if they play without permission and we had a permission needed to play protocol, then I would not allow play for some time, either days or weeks, to teach that lesson. I may also do another form of more immediate, tangible punishment, like impact, or put them in the corner, have them do lines, and possibly overstimulation since they can't control themselves. And you make them play for an hour, non-stop, no matter what. And things like that. It also depends on my mood. If I'm feeling particularly generous or sadistic, that will come into it. What their behavior has been like generally outside of this one misbehavior. All these things come into it. So it's very, very complex. But I hope maybe that helps give you some ideas to suggest to your partner. Next up. So I hope you're well. Having a hard time finding representation. I'm a short, chubby, curly-haired mixed sub and don't see myself anywhere. Do you have any advice? Any suggestions? Representation is hard when we're online, and I'm guessing that's what you're referring to when you're not seeing yourself. If you're spending most of your time or you're relying on seeing yourself reflected in just the online space, and if we're just talking about Instagram especially, you're going to be pretty disappointed. It's a pretty narrow field of representation. A lot of us in this community are not represented here, even in slight tonal differences. I mean, the reason why I started doing this, is to be a bit more lighthearted and have some fun and be funny, because I wasn't seeing that, and that's a reflection of my personality that I wanted to see, so I decided to represent it myself. But in terms of physicality, it's a very narrow view, and it's one that has a negative effect on people. I definitely understand that. I think if you're looking for that online and on platforms like Instagram, you are going to be disappointed and badly affected, very potentially. So I would suggest not doing that. I would really suggest trying to go into the community and go to a live, you know, event or gathering, like a munch or some kind of public play party, even just to observe. Because I think if you do that, you'll see a completely different cross-section than what you see online. Now, the events I've been to, both munches and like parties, I've seen a huge cross-section of wonderful kinky folk, like ages, you know, gender, body types, all the differences, all the different identities, and it feels much more real and human than what we just see, you know, online. So I would say start looking in places that are more real, and you'll see a much more real reflection, and a reflection that undoubtedly will include your wonderful self. Next question. I'm a sad brat sub who just lost my sir seemingly overnight. Any tips for moving on in a healthy way? I like that, in a healthy way. I think moving on is healthy fundamentally, but I know what you mean. You can get distracted and maybe do things in order to move on which are not actually good for you. The first thing you need to do is just let yourself feel. The shock of a relationship ending, especially a dynamic, is huge. I don't know how long this dynamic was going for. The longer, the more the shock will probably be felt. But it might also have been your first, so that's going to be a different kind of shock. And by the way you're describing it, seemingly overnight, this was a very shocking shock. Like, this was an unexpected, surprising end. So you might not have resolution. Your partner might not be playing a role in that resolution, which is really ideal. This is really hard, and you have to let yourself accept that and acknowledge that. Not put any pressure on yourself. Don't over focus on moving forward yet. Just focus on how you feel and letting yourself feel all the feelings that you do feel. Don't repress any, because they will just stay there and they'll make it difficult or impossible to move on, and certainly to move on in a healthy way. So first feel everything. It's okay. It's needed. It's healthy. Do what you need to do. And as soon as you can, start putting that energy back into yourself. And certainly try your best not to put it into that other person. Don't chase them or pursue a resolution that isn't being offered. Just take care of yourself. Give yourself time to grieve. It is a loss, a dynamic ending. And then after some time, put some energy into you and taking care of you. Giving yourself things, practices, routines to take yourself to a better place than what you were at before. To make your life even better. And time will take care of it. It's not going to happen quickly, but eventually it will pass. That's what happens. So in that time, be nice to yourself, be kind and generous, and be patient, and things will get better. You'll be okay, and you'll take what you've learned from that relationship, and that will help you make a better one in the future. So it's okay. It'll be fine. Next question. How do you build up the confidence to ask for what you want when an ex shamed you when you asked to explore something new? He was vanilla, and I tried to introduce play. He was very mean. First, let's acknowledge why that partner who was vanilla was very mean. Just because he's vanilla doesn't mean he's going to be mean. Why did he shame you? Because he is obviously very insecure or scared of what you needed and what he probably couldn't give you. Perhaps he was not vanilla and he was actually ashamed of the fact that he had some things he wanted to explore as well, but he was too scared. Whatever the driver it is, it's coming from fear. So that's why he was mean. So this is a person who's insecure and frightened and lashed out. And that's going to leave you sensitive, but look at what you're doing now. If you're going to build up the confidence to ask for what you want again of a different partner, of a new partner, this is a new partner, this is a different person. So this person is not going to react like the last person. You haven't chosen another frightened, insecure person, have you? I don't think you have. You wouldn't have done that. So you won't get the same behavior from someone who isn't that past partner. You've moved on and you've got a new partner and you want to do the same right thing because what you did before was correct, to ask for what you want. There's all likelihood that you will get a different reaction because this person, hopefully, ideally, I'm assuming, is more open and is not as insecure as the last. It might be worth raising it with that framework to let them know and let them in on that experience of yours. So instead of saying, hey, I want to talk about this, say, hey, there's something I want to talk about that I raised in my past relationship and it was met really poorly and my partner shamed me and was really mean and made me feel terrible, and I want to raise the conversation with you, but I'm a little sensitive, I'm a little bit worried. Even though I don't think that you'll behave in the same way, I'm a little sensitive about it. And I think if you frame it like that, your partner immediately will understand and empathize and will want to be even more supportive. You know, they'll see the opportunity to be a good partner and they'll really want to be open and to listen. And whatever their response is, it could be a huge array of things. Maybe they're all for it or it's not their cup of tea. Whatever it is, it shouldn't involve any meanness or any judgment or any shaming. And it should be open and supportive. And I think if you raise it like that, honestly, which is not easy to do, it's vulnerable, but it's very strong and it's giving space to the partner. It's giving them the opportunity to be the best version of themselves, and they're going to want to do that. So I would say raise it like that and hopefully they meet you as they should. And if they don't, just remember you're doing the right thing. If they can't meet you, then they've failed. It's their failure, not yours. Next question. Do you have any tips for a sub trying to get into routine alone, please? Yeah, it's very difficult to set your own routines and your own structure, but just as in self-coloring, which is a much more intentional and kind of formal process, it's the same kind of approach. You have to look at what routines you want, what routines are challenges, what routines would ideally make up part of your ideal week or month, and set those within that amount of time and what they are, detail them and how many iterations of that you want to do within, say, a week, and then set a kind of minimum that you want to do to give yourself some flexibility. You know, no one's perfect. And give yourself some kind of reward, maybe at the end of the week or the end of the month, and some kind of punishment, you know, at the end of the week or the month, whatever feels comfortable and more motivating for you. And then it's just about beginning that and holding yourself, you know, accountable to it, and also taking the pride in when you do your routines. You know, keep it tangible, keep a book or some kind of record so that you can really see how you're going. And if you need some external accountability, then reach out. This is what I do. I help you with the process and then give you dynamic support so that you have someone to answer to. So you don't have to do it alone. If you want to just discuss how to try and do it completely solo, that's also something I can kind of help you with and kind of, you know, set you off on your way. I would say look for some motivation, look for some support so you don't have to do it alone. And let's do one more. Sometimes I feel competitive with my partner's other partners. Like, I want to be the one doing that for you. Not always, but sometimes I want to feel like the favorite. Yeah. So this is like a poly question here. Being poly or being non-monogamous doesn't mean that you don't feel these things. So first of all, feeling this is not a problem. It's not the problem. So notice that you're not asking me a question about it. You're just saying, hey, I have this feeling. As if the question were obvious because you're presenting a problem. But you're not. You're just saying you feel these things. Of course you do. You're a human and you're experiencing, you know, insecurity and little bits of, you know, jealousy. They're parts of being non-monogamous and being poly. And really, just say this to your partner. Just, if you haven't already, just say, hey, sometimes I feel these things. Just discuss it, even acknowledging it and saying it out loud and seeing how okay it is will make you feel more secure. You might just need to be recognized and seen that you have these feelings. And maybe you just need a little reassurance. You know, even though you know the thing, hearing it from your partner, hearing them say what you already know, that, oh, but, you know, you can't, one person can't, you know, be everything, and you're a unique, you know, partner to me, and I value you, you know, beyond, you know, beyond and equally to everyone else. That's the kind of thing. Everyone is like unique and priceless, but we're all unique and priceless, and that's okay. Maybe you just need to hear some of these things, you know. And if you want to feel like the favorite, you're kind of, you know, trucking a little bit of guilt for feeling like that. That feels like a little like you're not supposed to have that, but that's okay. Maybe you just need a little territorialism. Maybe you need a little bit of indulgence to feel like, you know, the favorite, you know, just to enjoy a little bit of that feeling. And then you can go back to the secure understanding of course you don't want, you know, to play favorites and for there to be favorites. Like, that's not particularly healthy or functional way to be in non-monogamy. So just talk about it and discuss it, and I think that alone will get you most of the way to where you need to be. But first of all, for yourself, stop feeling guilty that you have these feelings. Stop seeing it as a problem. It's very, very normal. No, we don't like that word. It's very common. We all have feelings. Everyone has days or weeks or times or particular relationships where there's, you know, jealousy or insecurity. It's just part of it. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. So just talk about it.
To support this space and to get access to TFD's exclusive guides to kink, spicy content, and more, Check out his Patreon at www.patreon.com/thefunnydom.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to start having guests on the podcast very, very soon. And actually recorded my first guest today with the amazing, she's Spider-Man, Hannah Dindorfer. And she is amazing. She's more a sexy fairy godmother than a Spider-Man. But she's my first guest. I'm so honored to have her on the show. And we had a great chat. So I'm going to have a little snippet, a little preview of that just for you folk right now. And we might get to hear the full interview next week. Who knows? Wait and see. So we're going to have that now. And then after that, I'm going to give you a preview of the next Dometary, the next watch along, which is on Love and Leashes. So stick around for a little interview, and then we're going to do some watch along, both sneak previews just for you, my special listeners. Enjoy. Coming from, because they can feel that it's coming from a person. It's not just a external thing, which could still work. It's actually about the person behind it.
Thank you for that reflection. I think trust is an interesting concept, and one definition of trust I've been exploring a lot lately, and I think that this is really helpful to consider in power dynamics or in intimate spaces, is that trust, if someone feels trust when they believe that the other person that's interacting with them values the relationship more than their individual agenda. Like the hierarchy of decision making is what serves the relationship first, what serves the dynamic first, so the dynamic is as healthy as possible, and then what serves my individual agenda. And that always is secondary to whatever is the most important for the dynamic to be the healthiest and the most loving, most joyous, most expressed. And that having that and feeling that with someone, when you can feel with them that whatever their individual desires are secondary to, not me, right? Because you can't trust, I don't think you can trust someone who puts your desires above theirs, but the dynamics desires, the relationships desires and needs are more important than the individual. That creates trust.
Yes. So well put. Yeah, it is that third thing. It's almost like in every relationship there is a third, even when there isn't a third, because the third is the relationship itself. So we're always having threesomes. We just don't think about it like that. We're too focused on each other and ourselves. But if we focus on the third being the connection, the dynamic, the thing that is made by the union of the two people, and if you're focused on honoring that and trying to do the best by that, we'd probably not start as many ego conflicts and people-pleasing. A lot of these things would get positively influenced, I think, by the third, the unicorn that everyone is making by being with another person.
Yes, exactly.
And it's very clear when it's a dynamic, like a DS dynamic, it's even clearer. That's interesting. How long have you, when was your discovery identity-wise of your, are you submissive, or have you found a kind of switchiness now?
I've found myself very firmly in Switchland.
I thought when I saw Master for your name, I thought, oh, maybe there's more switchiness.
Discovered kink. I mean, here's the interesting thing about kink, right? Because if you look back, most kinky people, if they look back on their history, they can be like, oh, well, I've always been kinky. Mm-hmm. I can see that that's true. And I can see that that's true. I mean, I've had experiences with, some of my most favorite sexual experiences from high school are, just so non-vanilla, which I love. And I really entered a more structured kink space, which was conscious and vocal and expressed and clear that this is a kink space, and specifically a DS dynamic, would have been about 3 years ago now. Maybe more. Just over 3 years, because I started exploring kink just a little bit with a long-term partner that I had 4 years ago, and it was also the same time where we decided we were going to open our relationship. We were having a lot of challenges with our relationship and our sexual expression, and we're like, let's try all these things, which included opening the relationship, which was absolutely terrible idea.
let's rob three banks at the same time.
So obviously that didn't work out.
Okay, folks, welcome to another watch along. This is going to be a commentary on the 2022 Netflix rom-com Love and Leashes. I've seen this film once when it came out last year and very much enjoyed it. So we're going to watch it again together. And if you haven't seen it, then this will be fun. And if you have seen it, I think this will be fun as well to watch along with me. So I'm going to be playing in 3, 2, 1. Dun dun. Straight into it. Love it. Wow. I think it just said more in the first 5 seconds than 50 Shades did in the first hour. And look at these cool credits. This is a cool movie. A little bit old Hollywood, Hitchcocky, Mad Men style, but with a kinky rom-com twist. Love it. Great start.
interesting. Already bringing up like a gender power hierarchy issue in one little scene. There's a lot in this movie. And the vibe, a little bit of something kind of vibe between them. This movie just works as a good like gender in the workplace hierarchy story as well. There's like two films in this. I like that it's starting with her and the pressure on her to be a certain way. Sometimes we do that. Oh, here we go. I remember this. This is what kicks it off. So he has a special delivery, which he really shouldn't have had delivered at work. And because their names are similar, she's been delivered the package instead of him. And he is terrified because it's something quite special. So good. Love this. It's not quite getting away with it. Oh. Uh-oh. If you had a slight hope of getting away with it, now it's gone. That is not for a dog. That's so sweet. Very subtly did not show any shame or ridicule. Just by saying, well, don't throw away the coupon. He's so hypersensitive to shame and embarrassment, which is so good to see in a male character. And she's completely nonplussed. Oh, he's even journaling. That's a good sub. Oh, he's chatting to other people. He's got like online community. That's great. It's true. So many more than us. It is risky. Definitely be careful at work. That's a difficult area. So she's not just not a shaming person and maybe cool. There's something there. There's some kind of curiosity, which is so good to see in both characters, independent. She's got a cool mum. This. It's just a very sweet rom-com on this level. Like, oh my god, he just texted her and she's just walked in the room. it's so sweet. Again, the embarrassment, the vulnerability of being interested in possibly showing yourself. Again, he's made a big mess. Wow. It's already just a slight power dynamic there. Oh my goodness, a forceful caregiving. He's gone. He's a mess already. She just told him to sit. Very, like, subtle. One of us. He might have jumped the gun a little bit too fast. Uh-oh, calm down. Now he's done it. Love it. Straight to Googling it. Actually looking it up, talking about it. Now, what was the 50 Shades version of this scene? She looked at some pictures and was disgusted, and that's it. This is actually looking at the definition. Pets know a trainer and an owner.
I hope you enjoyed those previews of my first interview with Hannah Deindorfer and the watch along. That was just the first 20 or so minutes of the watch along there. So that'll be out soon, and the full interview will be part of a upcoming show probably next week. So I hope you enjoyed those. Keep in mind to check out the Funishment game. And also, be safe, stay kinky, and we'll talk again soon.
You're listening to the Funny Dom Podcast. To support this space and to get access to TFD's exclusive guides to kink, spicy content, and more, check out his Patreon at www.patreon.com/thefunnydom.